everyone, and welcome to this week's photo show. As we are progressing along these lines, we're getting a little bit better at this, I think. I'm sure some of the shows have been more than passable, and I hope you've been watching and enjoying them. Tonight, I've got Ian and Damien with me again to talk over some items that we've seen in the news and some items of kit. Good evening, Ian. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Yeah.
Been busy?
Can't complain. Yeah, busy, usual stuff, you know, working.
Yeah. Any chance to get some photograph time in?
Yeah, took the kids out this morning, took a few photos of them. Did my Emily portrait for the week, so I got that out of the way, bagged that one.
Good.
So I can't complain.
Good. Damien, how are you?
Fine. We're contemplating lockdown in Birmingham and Solihull, so we caught up with the families, but we're very confused about all the news about what we can and can't do. But yeah, from Tuesday onwards, we're at home.
Yeah. So more bubble photographs then, shall we? Or something
like that.
Back down that line again. Right. Okay. It's been a hectic week, which means we don't get much chance to get out and enjoy it. So let's move on to tonight. We'll talk about some items we've seen in the news this week. The first item that caught our eye was this Astronomy Photographer of the Year 2020. Ian, you saw this first. What did you think?
Yeah, just stunning. I mean, I've dabbled in a little bit of astronomy, but not like this, not to this standard. I mean, I find it fascinating. It is a really, it's quite a technical thing to do with anything to do with the night sky. And these images, you need to go and take a look at them because they are inspiring. The winner, really, really stunning. I mean, it almost doesn't look like a photograph. It's so the winner's a shot of Andromeda Galaxy, but the photographer, he 3D printed a mount to hold his camera at an angle, and what that's done is it's given this like tilt shift effect. So normally if you're shooting the night sky, everything's so far away, even if you shoot at f2.8, you haven't got to worry about depth of field, so you don't get an interesting depth of field effect when you shoot in the night sky. But he's managed to achieve this with this shot of Andromeda. The article says that you almost feel like you can reach out and touch Andromeda. It does feel like that. I mean, it's just wonderfully done. Two hours and 30 minutes total exposure to get the shot. Incredible stuff.
I quite like the second one. I quite like the lady in the lights, the person from Germany who did the Borealis Aurora. She looks like a winged angel. It looks quite incredible, that second picture. Yeah. I mean, we've got a lot of patience putting these pictures together. When you hear how they describe how they did them.
Yeah. Now, there's some excellent pictures there. If you scroll through the website, I'll put the link up here on the screen so you can see it.
I mean, but, there's a shot young from the Astronomer Photographer of the Year as well. Milky Way shot with, looks like the moon right down the bottom above the sea. Yeah, that was shot by an 11-year-old, which is really frustrating because it's amazing.
Well, it's good to see. Nice to see some youngsters involved in it as well. Yeah, so well worth having a look at those on the...
It's a really good site.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Something for us all to aim for. Right, okay. And now the other photographs that we saw this week that quite intrigued us was funny photographs.
Yes. The comedy wildlife photographs. There was some very fun ones. I quite like... the young lion trying to get hold of someone's nether regions, which was quite fun. And there were some other good ones, just expressions they caught from the animals and stuff, the outtakes, which are really quite good fun. They almost make them look human.
Yeah, if you can see some of them here, as I'm just going to flick through a couple of them. I love the turtle with the finger.
I was going to say that's brilliant. He's got a really grumpy face, isn't he, as well, to go with it.
Yeah,
he's like he's totally cheesed off.
But again, it just always when I watch some of these wildlife shows, the patience required by some of these wildlife photographers or anyone who wants to do wildlife, you just have to take your time and just sit there and wait and watch for it to drop into place. It's not like a, you know, where you can set it up and take it in an instant. You're waiting on the animals to take part, and they're not always forthcoming, are they?
But I think that there's sort of two things for me with this story. One, it's with the year that we've had, I think it's a really sort of uplifting, nice story to read, fantastic images, you know, brings a bit of a smile on your face with, you know, everything that's going on in the world at the minute. And the second thing, plan to take that shot of the turtle flipping his finger, it's one of those things that happens. You've probably taken a burst of shots, and within those bursts of shots, you've just managed to get this moment, which is really awesome.
Unfortunately, often with me, when I do that, the act photograph is the one in between the two that I've got, even on 10 frames a second. I've just missed the actual bit, which is really frustrating, you know. And sometimes it's only when you come away and you start looking at it that you think, oh, God, I've missed the shot. But yeah, some of them are really, really clever. I love the one of the gorilla. I've almost named it Ewan, but I wouldn't go that far.
I know the one you mean.
Yeah, it's great fun. It's great fun. Right. And I believe they're asking people to vote on the best one. Is that part of it, I think?
That's right, yes. They are asking people to do that. In fact, it reminds me, next time we do the photo show, we just talk about the BBC Countryfile calendar as well, because that's out at the same time.
I was watching that the other week. But again, I was more, not so much the photographs, I think we mentioned this, they had 65,000 entries or something. And how do you even go about starting to, I suppose, does it become like what's that website where you flick through the people? Yes, I like him, no, I don't, and all that. Is it becoming like that with that many photographs?
I think for this competition, they probably had rather than looking at the technical aspects, it was how much does this one make me laugh?
So go and vote for the best.
The turtle shot reminds me a little bit of one I took at the beginning of the year of a surfer. I mean, it's not on that scale, but I didn't realise until I downloaded the shots that the surfer's going along the water, and it almost looks like he's got his bum up as he's surfing along the wave.
Just
the way that he's holding his hand, it's
I like them. That's well worth a look, and take the time to vote, see which you think is the best, and put your vote in. Okay, the other thing caught our eye again was this thing about Ian, you were saying that you were thinking about taking part in going to look at the virtual photo show next week.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've got holiday next week, so I booked the time off because originally when they postponed the show from March to September. So I did have it all booked, ready to go, and obviously it got cancelled till next September now. So yeah, unless the weather's amazing and I'm out with the camera, that'll be the first priority. But if I am around, then I have registered for it, so I will be dipping in and trying to, you know, be interested to see how they put together a virtual show. I don't know whether you have to do certain things at certain times, or whether you can almost explore as if you're on the show ground and sort of go where you want. It'd be interesting to see how they do it. And I guess the more they put into it, the more they'll get out of it, because obviously they have lost significant amount of money by not running the show. And it is an opportunity to recoup some of that. Although they're not charging sort of an entry fee, you know, there's an opportunity. They're still saying there's going to be show deals and stuff like that. There's still an incentive there for it to be a success for the show. Because who knows, in 12 months' time, who's to say we'll be back at the NEC with the way things are going? I mean, they might need to use this as a benchmark to be able to do it again. Who knows?
I think, well, yeah, a lot of shows have had to take that format. And do you, I presume they'll try and do something similar. There'll be demonstrations of new kit, of new procedures.
Yeah, I mean, they've managed to get a lot of the big manufacturers involved. Canon having a virtual stand, and Vanguard and people like that. They're all getting involved. So and there's talks planned. So that there seems to be a lot of effort gone into it. So it'll be worth checking out.
I presume from the money point of view, for the big companies, these stands that they put at these shows must cost quite a lot of money to actually build, fill out and staff for a show like that. So there could be a payback for them in the cost of the show, as opposed to taking part on a virtual show.
In fact, I was talking to Ewan at his studio next door. He's an exhibition, puts together exhibitions for various people. And he was saying that, yes, they did have a dip, but they're all getting orders in now, ready for the forthcoming year and that. So I think this is a blip for the photo show. It's a bit like the last night of the proms. I don't know if you caught that. Mm-hmm. Imaginatively, they did it. And I've been looking at what the photo show are going to do. And I'm looking forward to the tips that they might have and the various video games that they're saying they're going to do. So I think in 2 weeks' time, all of us will come back and say, well, this is what we saw on the photo show. It'll be interesting to compare notes.
Yeah. We'll have to get you to be our roving virtual reporter at the show, Ian, so you can do a report.
I mean, you say, Martin, about the money lost. I mean, we still went in March because the hotel was paid for. So me and a couple of mates still went. We just spent some time in Birmingham City Centre doing some photography. And we bumped into loads of people that were in the same boat.
Yeah.
And there's one particular chap that we bumped into that I can't remember what, I remember he was there with some sort of photographic organisation that was going to be at the show. And he said he was the only one that bothered to venture to Birmingham, but he had like nine empty rooms, I think he said, that were all paid for at the hotel. That's a huge amount of money that they've lost.
So hopefully they can...
Because they cancelled it. They postponed it, a week? I think it was a week out in March. So there wasn't a huge amount of notice for people.
Of course, at that time, we were just entering lockdown and people just didn't know what was happening day to day. It was quite...
We literally went to Birmingham, came home, and there was another week of sort of chaos with people panic buying and that. And then after that, it was, sort of lockdown.
Yeah, I couldn't find an 8200 lens anywhere on the shelf. It was quite surprising. Right. Okay. So our virtual roving reporter, Ian, will report back on that show for us in the next photo show, hopefully. And finally, the last thing I had here was it about Black Friday, the usual sort of people starting to round up
what we can do. That caught my eye. I mean, we're not that far away from Christmas, and so the Black Friday deal.
Oh, the Christmas word. Oh, no.
They're desperate to drum up support for people to spend their money, if they've got the money to spend on cameras and that. And I just saw Black Friday deals are coming up. So there's going to be a pre-Black Friday by Amazon, I think. Amazon are doing some sort of big day as well.
Well, this is it, because everyone does it on the Friday. Now someone's going to do Black Thursday or Black Wednesday afternoon or something like that, just to try and get ahead of the game. It always happens. So we'll end up with Black Week, the whole week going on with different deals. So, but yeah, there could be some stuff around. I think there could be quite a lot of, what should we say, maybe current DSLR camera bodies and a kit around that's all of a sudden, with so many people moving to mirrorless, that they might be getting some good deals on that if you're looking for an old fashioned DSLR camera now.
Yes, there might be lots of different things. I'm just looking to see what they've. They're going to be new products coming in. They're talking about those and whether you'll get some deals on that. Plus your laptops, they're really drumming it up if you look at all the blurb on it all. Mm. So all exciting stuff.
Yeah, it gets bigger every year, doesn't it? I think. I know. And then this year is probably, again, with everything that's going on in the world, people are trying to drum up some sales. So
of course, They all think we've got loads of money in the bank because we haven't been spending anything for the last 4 months. So, you know, now's the time.
Amazon Prime Day, that's the thing. And Cyber Monday, I mean, you'll get confused. You're pushing your credit card down too.
There won't be any days of the week left for us to work on. We'll be so busy spending money all around the place that we won't actually earn any of it. So, right, well, that's the news we've seen this week. So we've been looking around for new gear this week, and actually we found it's been quite slim pickings, which it could be to do with all the shows coming up and everything else. Maybe people are holding back on releases. But the one that you found this week, Ian, was this, was it called a double film camera?
Yeah, so it's the company is called Double Film, and they're releasing this, what they're calling a reusable disposable camera. So it's based around the idea of a disposable camera that's really easy to use, just has a roll of film in it and you go ahead and use it. It's very niche if you ask me. I don't know who this is really aimed at. It's not particularly cheap. I think it was $60-$70, something like that to buy. €55, €55. Order direct through the Double Film website. The news is very, the gear was very slim this week. So,
but that's not like, I'm thinking of the disposable cameras you buy for about a tenner, which come in a little plastic shell and you take the pictures once and that's it. Then you just think, away. I wouldn't be throwing away a £65 camera each time.
No, that's the idea of it. It's reusable, but it's reusable. Around that. It's based around that idea of anyone can open a take a disposable camera out of packaging and just start clicking away.
Is it a bit like Lomography that it's just a sort of a lo-fi approach to photography, and people quite like the style of the pictures that they're getting from it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. One good use for it could be, you put one roll of film in it and that's what you take out, and you've got, however many shots on your roll of film and that's all you've got. And you're restricted by the, it's got a fixed lens, it's got a fixed aperture, it's got a fixed shutter speed. So it can be creative from that sense, but I don't know how many people would be buying it when you've got...
I'm trying to imagine where the market for this would be, but anyone under 20, I don't even know what 35mm film is or what they do with it, and using their camera phones and everything else. I don't see that kind of market. And older people, my age and above, we have the point and shoot cameras which are out now. We've reviewed some of them, are excellent for what, maybe only another £50 on top of that price. It seems to be a strange product at this time.
Yeah, I don't.
Don't understand.
It's not saying I'd be going out to buy.
No.
I don't even know where I'd get the film developed.
Oh, I think there are places you can get them developed.
Taiwan, isn't it?
There are places. I mean, I know there's a group in Birmingham that they've done a shoot and used film. I mean, film does have its little advantages at the high end of exposure and low exposure, because it's when you're using digital, you've got no leeway when you get up to the high parts of the histogram. It's not forgiving on that respect. Well, can give you a little bit more of a, it's that Lomography, that's that sort of lo-fi approach. It blurs the colours a little bit. It gives you a bit of a niche effect, and some people might like that.
Yeah, and it just seems f/8 at 125 is not giving you an awful lot of artistic licences.
No. And I guess if you did want to restrict yourself like that, I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of apps out there that you can flip into a film mode and get the same similar effect. Someone will buy it, I'm sure.
The marketing people must have got something right to do that. Just as I said, I just can't see it myself, but about where their market lies. Very strange. very strange. Now, so that's one end of the market. The other one that we saw that came out, just about, let me just bring it up here, just about creams to the very top, this new Canon EOS C70, which is a cinema camera, which is going to have the new R mount on it, so it'll take the new R lenses. But it looks to be a phenomenal piece of kit that they're going to announce. It has three memory card slots and two batteries. And unlike if you read in the release item about it, it said hot on the heels of the Canon R5. Now, I'm sure the marketing people didn't want that piece to come out at this moment. They're still fighting a running battle about the heating problem.
Yes, yes.
R5. But I presume this is more for videographers, isn't it, than photographers?
Yeah, definitely. I think the thing that I find quite interesting about this, I mean, it's a rumor at the moment, isn't it? But what I find quite interesting is being based around the RF mount, because there's been other rumors that Canon are still going to release like an upgrade to the M50 series, which uses an M mount, and it just drives me potty that, you know, they've got this fabulous new RF mount. And I find it really confusing that you know they've got crop sensor cameras that are using the M mount. They've got their full frame mirrorless cameras that are using the RF mount, and it just they need to go down the route of, I think, you know, we're using one mount.
But would the R mount not be too big on some of the M series cameras? It's quite a big mount, isn't it? To go on the smaller frame. Maybe they're doing the Apple thing where they try to reduce it to two streams, didn't they? There was one stream and there was a pro stream. So maybe Canon are saying, look, we'll switch everything over to the R mount for all our bigger cameras and professional stuff, and leave the M mount for the more point and shoot market.
Mm. Yeah, potentially.
But that does look a lovely bit of kit. I was sorely tempted to 5 or 6 years ago to buy the C300, which was to do some stuff on that, but as usual the wallet soon spoke to me and said no, go away, so we didn't go down that route. Okay, but it seems that Canon are really hitting it hard at the moment with all this new development, so be interesting to see what comes from that. So again, have a look at the site and see where they're going to launch by the 24th of September. Sorry, Damien?
Canon don't burn out. So they're putting so many products out. I mean, they just don't overreach themselves.
I wouldn't have thought burnout is a phrase issue with Canon at the moment, Damien. They're very sensitive about stuff like that. Anything to do with these are hot cameras, you know? So, but yeah, I think of all the manufacturers, they seem to be in the ascendancy as far as I can see at the moment. Everyone else seems to be retrenching and fighting back. I guess
it depends where the research and development cycle is, isn't it? Because a lot of this stuff is 2 or 3 years ago, and it comes to fruition here, doesn't it? And then potentially it falls off. You know, it just depends when the research and development comes together. I guess.
Yeah, and of course, as soon as you've bought one of these, then the marketing guys are trying to say, oh, well, the next one in a few years' time is going to be even better. You know, buy it then. So. Great stuff.
I don't like rumors, but I mean, I even saw a story somewhere that, you know, they were talking about like an R5 Mark II already, and it's like, oh my goodness, it's just come out.
I think they're saying that it's going to be the launch event on the 24th of September. I think they had to respond to some leaks that were going on about what was coming out. Some of these images that you see here were announced and leaked to the obviously before they were ready, you know. Okay, so some nice kit there if you're into videography as well. As you know, we at this point in the show we often talk about topics related to photography and how they affect photographers, both from an amateur point of view like myself and to the more professional people like Ian and Damien. This week, we were actually two separate stories kind of collided. Ian, you were looking at this Halide app for phones about apparently they were requested by photographers to do something.
Well, they've seen a huge increase in the download for their app, and as a result, they're actually donating a day's worth of sales towards the wildfire relief in America. So the reason that people were turning to their app is that, you know, people were finding that they're trying to take a picture because I assume people have seen images of America and San Francisco of these, you know, orange skies, almost surreal scenes. But people were trying to capture these with their phones and finding that particularly with auto white balance, it will go, well, the sky can't be orange, I'm going to try and correct this to grey. So people were taking a picture and, well, that sky is not orange. So people have turned to apps like Halide, where they've got a bit more control over white balance to get a more orange sky to represent what they were trying to capture. And Halide, I think, in their response, have done a nice thing by donating some money to the wildfire relief in response, which can only be a good thing.
Because some of the photographs we've seen, I know the dramatic orange skies, but equally some of the photographs of people's houses completely destroyed and trailer parks, and it's pretty shocking to see. But strangely, that then transferred over slightly further. Then we were talking, Damien, about this thing, smoke bombs.
Yes, the digital camera ran a news item saying that the latest craze out there is to have gender reveal parties, where they say whether it's a boy or a girl, and they have pyrotechnics and smoke bombs as the latest craze of dropping one and getting blue smoke, pink smoke. But they've tracked a lot of one of these parties down to the fires. So that brings up the question of use of smoke bombs in photography, because it can be quite popular as a way of producing a dramatic effect that can then enhance your photographs in certain situations. I've never used one, but I've always seen, I'd read an article, and I must try one and be tempted to use it. But now maybe it may not be such a good idea.
Well, maybe not in your Tinder dry back garden might not be an idea. You know, you're going to do it somewhere where you're not going to set the forest on fire. Good grief. Ian, have you ever used anything like that?
No, not smoke bombs. There is a photographer at my camera club that I've seen, not seen him using, but I've seen the images that he's produced as a result of using one. And they are really interesting photographs. He did a portrait shoot with a model. Now, I don't know if this was deliberate, but the model was in water. So maybe, you know, he's taken some necessary precautions in terms of where he's chosen to use it. But some, you know, really interesting images. And I think that's the thing, isn't it? We're taking so many thousands of images that everyone's trying to do something different. And yes, that's where the temptation comes in to, you know, try things like smoke bombs or wire wall photography, which can be dangerous as well.
I've never done the wire wall. I've seen the wire wall done, and
I've tried the wire wall. I mean, it's literally putting a bit of wire wall into the head of a whisk on a piece of art string, and then literally spinning it around, and then you get the cinders off of the wire wall spreading around, and it's a wonderful effect, but that can be dangerous in itself as well.
Please avoid tinder dry forests and stuff like that. It's strange to see something as dramatic as that can be caused from something. I'm sure the people didn't set out their intention to set fire to most of California, but just goes to show you've got to take care. I've never heard of that either of those before. Obviously, being a rank amateur, I wouldn't be looking at anything like that. But it is interesting to find these things. So, what other things have we got there that might be considered to be dangerous if let loose amongst the less inclined parts of our population?
Well, there's smoke bombs, but there's also flares that you can use. And sometimes I've seen photographic shoots where people are holding flares and making all sorts of patterns with the flares. And they're, again, you wouldn't be wanting to use those in enclosed rooms or wherever.
Yeah, I had an idiot at Old Trafford one time with a big red flare right beside my head, and I thought I was going to lose everything, and he just thought it was hilarious. But and then when it got too hot to handle, he just chucked it. He said, well, there it goes. No, not at all. Ian, what tricks have you got to get your photograph?
As I say, I've done a bit of wire walling. That's the only thing I've done that's probably a bit dangerous. I mean, I have heard stories of photographers, and this one's not dangerous, but I've heard this is sort of the lengths that, you know, people go to get a shot. You know, I've heard of, I've seen images as well, photographers doing it, but going into like bluebell woods and setting up smoke machines to try and get that, you know, nice misty woodland and the bluebells. And so, you know, people go all sorts of lengths to get a shot. And it's almost like we discussed, you know, a couple of weeks ago, where people, you know, dangle off the side of a building just to get a selfie. So sometimes I think it goes to what I just said a minute ago, is we've taken so many thousands of images, the mindset is, right, how can I get something that someone hasn't got?
Yeah, or stands out, or get them that 5 minutes of instant fame on Facebook or something like that. It's
But it's interesting. It's sometimes very simple. I mean, I was out at Ewan and I took a picture of some murals, some street art, and Ewan shouted at me, stand on the table, do something different. You just took a shot that I just stood in front of it, took a picture, and he said, everyone does that. Either get down low, stand on the table, or get a different angle. And it's just a bit of thought, move your feet and think and do something different. And for those misty shots, you have to have a bit of luck and you have to get up early in the morning.
Yeah. But I think, I think the whole thing is don't put yourself at risk. The photograph's not worth it. It's, you know, so if you see, remember we said last week about that couple on the cliff face where the cliff was literally falling almost away from her. And she's saying, oh, look at this. I'm surprised she didn't actually try and put one foot on it and see if she could actually kick it away. Just push to it get away, the shot, yeah. You know? Crazy.
Always stay within your limits. It's very easy to get carried away looking at Instagram and seeing what people are doing and thinking, oh, I could do that. Always know your own limits. It's a very simple thing. And if you are good, people who, professionals do stunts, professionals do all these various effects for the cinema. It's a case of don't try it at home unless you are professional yourself.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I was fortunate a couple of years ago now to do, this was done on a beach with professionals, but, people, you know, spinning fire around and stuff and taking photographs of them, but they were professionals, but that was an interesting experience.
Yeah, so very interesting. We'll have a look at some more of those photographs as well. The only other bit of part of the thing I wanted to mention was, if you get a chance, go and have a look at the new Annie Leibovitz. She's taking this year's Pirelli for calendar. And the photographs are nothing like Pirelli have ever done before. She's taking famous American women, photographing them in different styles and shapes. There's no nude Miss October or anything like that. But it's quite interesting. It's quite really. I'll put up the website. If you get a chance, go and have a look at that. It's obviously a new direction for Pirelli. Okay. I'd like to say a quick mention to our sponsors, TSO Hosts, who provide all the services that we need to get these shows out to you all. They provide all the server bandwidth we need, as well as support for our systems. They're a great company to work with. I have my own site with them. And if you need anything to do with web, design, domain names, hosting, anything like that at all, please contact them. And if you mention BTN20, they'll even give you a big discount off your first orders. Our other main sponsor here is IMN Max here in Birmingham, who are able to service and repair and upgrade any Apple kit or Apple machines that you've got. And they can even provide some really good refurbished machines with excellent value for money. And they deal with any kind of problem, actually. That's a nice bunch of guys. Just give them a ring if you have an issue, anything to do with your Macs, and I'm sure they can help you out. Okay, Ian, where can we get hold of you if we need to get some more information and more help from you?
IanLewisPhoto.co.uk.
Okay, and Damien?
You can get me on the Twitter, on the Damo, on Instagram, on Damo Damo.
Great, great stuff. And you'll find me at martinkelly@mac.com or Magic Man in the BTN rooms. We're very welcome to get some comments from you there. As I say, we're hoping that the show is going out to people and has been well received. We'd love some comments back, even if it happens to be, you know, maybe whatever you want to think of us. But we'd like some comments back. And also, mate, we're starting to move, we could start looking at maybe some question and answers to some of the problems or issues that you're having, or topics that you'd like us to bring forward and discuss. And there's also a standing invitation to anyone who'd like to come and join in with us, come along one show, take part and tell us about how you and photography have worked together over the years. Okay, so we'll be back in a couple of weeks' time. We'll see you all then. Thanks very much. Good night, all.
Bye. Bye.